Today, I'm interviewing Peter Carroll. He's from Texas in the US. He's the founder of RhinoSpike, which is a site where you can get native speakers to speak a text that you are looking for to have native speakers to speak that text. So, for instance, if I want to know how a certain text sounds in Spanish, I'll upload it to RhinoSpike and I'll find native speakers that will speak that text for me. It's community based, so I will do the same thing for people that want to hear something in my native language, say German. There are over 50,000 recordings so far in 76 languages. But Peter is also a language aficionado himself. He's speaking and learning Spanish, German, Serbian, and in the past, he learned Esperanto at some point. Welcome, Peter. Thanks for participating.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Awesome. So, first of all, I think RhinoSpike is an awesome tool. What do you think makes it such a great tool for language learners?
Well, first of all, thank you. I think what makes it such a great tool is exactly the reason why we built it. About 7 years ago, my friend Tommy and I decided we were going to learn Spanish together. And as we started, we couldn't, we had all these text resources, and this is 2009, 2010, thereabouts. We had all these text resources, and there's stuff on YouTube, but really we couldn't find audio for exactly the text we wanted to learn. And this was the problem we set out to solve.
So it's basically for people that would like to learn a language with their own text instead of some textbook text or whatever, or a random YouTube video.
Well, it can be all of that. But especially if you want, you want to learn specific text, or even if you have a textbook, but you don't have audio for that textbook.
All
And
right.
then with you, and then with YouTube as well, there's also a part of the site where there's transcription. So you can post a YouTube video and ask somebody to transcribe it so that you actually understand what is being said. This is probably not the most popular part of the website because transcribing is a lot of work, but it is there and it's useful.
So it works both ways. I can also get a text transcribed if I want to.
Yes.
Oh, cool. Didn't know that. That's a pretty awesome feature as well. But yeah, it's definitely more work than just reading a text out loud.
Oh, absolutely.
And what do your users say? What do they use it for? Why do they like it?
I think for a lot of the same reasons, they really want to hear not just how individual words are spoken, but how does it sound, how does the text sound when you have the whole sentence read out together? Or just a case of really learning the words that are important to you.
All right. Yeah, that's good. It's context. It's exactly the stuff that I need rather than what some author of a random textbook thought that I would need to learn.
Right.
Pretty odd.
Yeah, it's rare that I actually need to learn how to go shop at the grocery store in another country because I'm not moving to another country necessarily.
Yeah, makes sense. And so you're a software guy, and I know you did a presentation at Polyglot Gathering about Anki, which is a tool to learn vocabulary. So, in a nutshell, what are your best tips for learning with a flashcard app like Anki?
Okay. So the most important thing is do it daily, or at least every weekday. That's what I do is every weekday typically. Try not to do more than like 20 minutes a day. After that, you start getting really tired of it, and it'll burn you out very quickly. And so some of the ways that I deal with that are setting review limits. Setting limits on how many new cards I do per day, and And then also I probably have like 20 or 30 different decks in Anki, and each deck contains flashcards for a different purpose. Really, they're by language, and then usually where I got those cards from. So like if they're flashcards I created from going through Teacher Self or Glossika or something like that. Each one of those will have their own deck. And so I'll set the limits on each deck or set of decks. And then especially, I tend to learn a language very slowly. So and that's one of the reasons I use Anki, is so that I don't forget what I've already learned. So what I like to do is, if I'm, I've been learning Spanish for probably 7 or 8, maybe 9 years. And, at this point, it is my best language, other than English, of course. But there were periods like I was learning German pretty intensely for about a year. But now I'm not doing that anymore. So what I've done is I've taken my German decks and I've set the review limits pretty low so that I could keep some of it in my mind, in my memory. But because I'm not focusing on German, I'm not spending all my time on German. I'm spending my time on the language that I want to spend time on.
And you do those decks yourself, or do you search for ones that are available?
I'm nearly I make most of my decks are ones that I made myself, usually from other materials, textbooks or whatever. But I made them myself, and the act of making the cards is part of learning. So, it's that important step to where you're actually putting it into your brain in the first place, so that when you see it again in Anki, it's not new material.
Which brings us to the topic of word learning or vocabulary in general. Like, other than the thing you said, t maximum of 20 minutes per day, do it every day. Do you have any other advice for learning words quicker, better?
I find that it helps me a lot to make sure that I have audio in my flashcards. And in addition to that, have my new vocabulary within a sentence, so that when I have the flashcard come up, I see the sentence, I hear the sentence, and then I typically, unless I'm in a hurry, I'll try to speak along with the sentence. And then also I find that the audio flashcards are more engaging. So I'm less likely to go. I just to get to the point where I feel like, oh, I don't want to do this.
Yeah, it's important to never make that point happen.
Right, and it does happen, even though I love Anki and I use it nearly every day, there's definitely days where I'm just like, I don't want to do anything.
Yeah, it makes sense. So we talked about RhinoSpike, Anki. What are other tools that you used or that you can recommend for language learning?
One tool I really like is called Learning with Text. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Familiar with?
It's an open source program. It's actually very similar to Steve Kaufman's Link, in that you have text, and then you're kind of going through each word, and you'd say, "Oh, I know this word," or "I don't know this word. Let's look it up and let's put a definition on it." Whether using a monolingual dictionary or a translation dictionary. And then it'll remember which words you've seen. So as you do new text, it's only prompting, well, it doesn't really prompt you, but it's only showing, highlighting the words you don't know yet or haven't been put in the system yet. But my favorite way to use learning with text is after I've gone through a piece of text and marked all the words, whether I know them or not. Then what I'll do is actually I'll export all of that to Anki. And you'll see my language learning kind of centers around Anki. But I export those into Anki so that they appear in a form where there's a sentence and then the individual word is highlighted within that sentence. And then on the back of the card is what that word means.
That sounds like a pretty good combination. And it does sound like a lot like Link. What do you think about that program?
I think Link is great, personally. It's been a while since I've used it, admittedly. The reason I use Learning with Text is because I think because of the software developer mentality that I want control over it. I can install it on a computer and tweak it as I need.
Okay. And any other tools that you can recommend, or are those the three that you use?
Those are the ones that I use the most. I guess I don't think of this as being a language learning tool, but I use spreadsheets a lot. And specifically, I'll use them through Google Docs. So what I'll do is I'll take like let's say I'm reviewing Glossika. And Glossika is great because you have thousands of sentences. It covers a lot of vocabulary, and there's audio for each sentence. So what I'll do is I'll take some sentences from Glossika, and in one column I'll have the foreign language text. Or like with Serbian right now, Serbian is interesting in that it has both the Cyrillic and the Latin alphabet. So I'll have the Cyrillic in one column, Latin in another column, and then I'll have the English translation, and then I will also have another column which has kind of this custom formatted tag related to an audio file that Anki recognizes. So what I'll do then is then I'll import that spreadsheet into Anki, and I have kind of a custom flashcard set up that I've made. At so that essentially three flashcards get generated from each row. So it's one flashcard is the Cyrillic text, and then I think I set it up to play audio immediately. I'm trying to remember how it is. Yeah, I review these every day. You would think I would know. So basically, the idea is the text displays. Actually, I think there's no audio at first. It's just the sentence in Cyrillic, and then I click the button to show the answer, and it shows me what it is in the Latin script. It plays the audio, and it shows me the English meaning. And then the next card is the same thing with the Latin script, and then the Cyrillic, and the English, and the audio on the back. And then the final one is just the audio. So the goal is to listen to it and make sure that I recognize every word that I've heard. And then when it shows the back, it shows the Cyrillic and the Latin script, but does not have the English translation on that one.
Okay, so you start off from the language you learn, and then you try to remember what it is in English.
Yes.
And you never do it the other way around?
You're right, I do. So, I've made this custom card template before, and it's just three like that. But I forget that with Serbian it's four because of the two alphabets. So there is a final one that is English, and then I need to produce Serbian.
Okay. And if there was the possibility to make the perfect language learning tool, if there isn't one yet, what do you think needs to be done?
Oh, I think about this one a lot. The answer is I don't know. Because where I really get hung up is finding the right resources. that are really relevant to what you want to learn, and at the same time are still starting at a basic enough level and then kind of building up from there. And that's really, I think this is why so many people make basic language courses, because everyone has a different idea about this. But aside from the courses, just the tooling, I mean, if you could start, I guess, combining these tools that I'm using all the time, RhinoSpike and Anki and Learning with Text, maybe there's some good convergence there, so that maybe people don't have to learn all these different tools. And then obviously I would like all of that to come into form in RhinoSpike, but I don't know. That's I think that's a ways off. It's not. RhinoSpike is definitely not my full-time job. It's something I do on the side, along with my friend Tommy, and so we just don't have the time to build something like that. But I think that would be ideal.
Okay, so a tool that combines word learning words, hearing texts, and reading texts, and learning new words through that. That would be it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Listening, reading, learning words. Sounds like a good. Sounds like all bases are covered this way. So I
Yeah,
saw.
the
Oh,
only of the
sorry.
four major skills you don't have in there is writing. And that's where something like Lang 8 is really useful. I don't do a lot of writing. I used to do a lot more, but it takes a lot of time. And my language learning probably suffers because of it, but that is what it is.
Okay, so basically covering all bases, reading, writing, listening, speaking if possible, I guess through native speakers, and learn the necessary words for it. And I saw you also created a toolbar for Firefox to learn Spanish. What do you have any other
That was a
software
long
out?
time ago.
It seems like you're like doing many different software. It's pretty cool. Like if you learn a language and you have a problem, you fix it by creating the software that you need to do.
Yeah, it's kind of combining both my main interests, I suppose. So that toolbar that I created, which I don't use anymore, but it's basically, it was just to kind of have a quick way of, looking up new words and then helping with input if you didn't have the keyboard set up right. The real reason I built that was a bit of jealousy, because at the time I noticed that people learning Japanese had all kinds of crazy tools available to them. At least at that time, in the browser and such, and there was really nothing for learners of other languages.
Okay. And any other tools that you made?
Let's see. I think I did make an Esperanto plugin for Anki at one point. It was fairly simple. Basically, if you were to type in like CX, it would give you the character C with the little hat, the little accent mark above it. Just because those characters are not commonly found in keyboards.
Okay. Any plans for the future to create any language learning tools?
I do actually, for my current language that I'm learning, Serbian, I've started building like an online dictionary, and it's not anything useful really yet. And really, it's pulling from Wiktionary. It's in the same people's Wikipedia. They have an online dictionary that's actually pretty good, but I find it hard, especially as a newcomer to a Slavic language. finding what the dictionary form of a word is. If I see a verb conjugated for, third person present, I may not know what the infinitive form is to look it up in the dictionary. And so what I'm trying to build, and I really haven't spent much time on this yet, is a way to kind of correlate all those different forms to the infinitives. And that, when you go to an online dictionary for languages like Spanish or German, you could just type in those forms, and those dictionaries know, okay, this is the word you want. I have yet to find that for anything. Yet to find anything like that for Serbian.
And why is Serbian? That's a strange language to learn.
So it comes from the very first time I went to a polyglot event. It was the polyglot gathering in Berlin in 2015. And I spent, I met all kinds of cool people from all over the world, but I did spend quite a bit of time with some people from Serbia, and I just had a blast hanging out with these people. And I decided I've got to learn their language.
Coming this year as well?
No, I won't be at the Polyglot gathering this year. I will be in Montreal at the Language Festival, and I'm trying to make it to the Polyglot conference in Iceland. I've yet to go to a Polyglot conference, so I would like to go, and Iceland seems like a really cool place to go.
I've heard good words about it. Cool, last question. Where do you think technology stops when you want to learn a language? Like, I know that apps and software can really help us a lot, but where do you think the limits are, where you really have to just do the language learning yourself?
Well, at some point, you really need to speak to people. And the technology can help with that, with Skype, as we're doing right now, or sites like italki, or the many language exchange sites out there. I think that, you can't just interact with robots. It's, you know, there there's no, I guess Duolingo is working on something, but but really, there's, to get to a really good level, you really need to talk to people. And this is somewhere where I find myself deficient. And kind of for that purpose, I've joined the Edwin Challenge to kind of force myself to really like learn and to speak, so that I can actually get good at this language I'm learning.
And so you're doing the add one challenge in Serbian?
Yes, I am. And I just started, I think it just started a week, 2 weeks ago. So
Cool.
I'm still early in, and I still need to, get on italki and find some tutors, but I'm committed.
Sounds good. Good luck with that.
Thank you.
All right, is there anything you'd like to add?
Obviously, please check out Rhino Spike if you I gotta get the plug in there.
I'll link it. I'll link to it.
Thank you, appreciate that. I guess I post very occasionally on Twitter and Instagram. My Twitter name is Peter J. Carroll, and my Instagram name is Peter underscore Rhinospike. Feel free to follow me. Hopefully that'll encourage me to post more often. And I typically post mostly language related things. Occasionally other things are in there too,
Cool. I'll
but
link to that too.
all right.
Awesome. Thank you so much,
I
Peter.
think that's it. All
All
right,
right.
thank you, Gabriel.
Bye bye.
Bye.